accession number 30417, Mr. Lance Hughes, RIP 3. Now, what happens next then?
We used to take over, because in the middle of Salisbury Plain is a camp which actually controls all of the firing ranges over there for the artillery. And what we used to do, these...
Is that at Lark Hill?
No, it isn't at Lark Hill. Not as far, I just can't remember mine.
Okay.
But what they used to take us out in a Land Rover, and we'd go into a bunker in the middle of it. And the bunker was covered with all bricks and old tanks and things like that, and it was part of the target. And he said, such and such will be here at such and such a time. So I'm sitting there with my cheese sandwich and my flask. And all of a sudden I heard this noise above us, and there was a bloody bomb burst went off in front of us. I had to ring them. I said, what's on there? He says, they're firing at the wrong range. It was the TA. And I said, well, that's good. And I sat there all day and never saw another person. But it must have been a cushy job for them, really.
Now, so nothing else happening. Did you learn about telephones? Did you learn how to lay telephone lines and the rest of it?
Yeah, we had to do that, yeah. But this one was a permanent one. It was in this bunker. If you looked out from the front, there was just a slot in the ground because it was banked up with all, just in case they dropped short on you. It wouldn't get in. It was all concrete bunkers.
Now, what about learning about telephones? You'd done that before, had you?
We've done that at real, really.
Tell us about what you'd learned on telephones.
Well, just like laying the lines down, you know, you had big reels and running with these reels till you got to where you had to be, and joining up if it was too short.
So, what about if they got... You'd learned how to repair them, then?
Just the lines, yeah, but nothing to do with the gubbins inside them and anything like that.
So, anything else before you go to Ireland, then?
No, that would be it.
So, what happened when you go to Ireland? When is that?
No, like I said, that was in the March. No, January 57. But before that, when we were at Tidworth, we used to get instructions. Another thing I always remember about crowd control. We were getting the instructions of crowd control because we knew we were going to Ireland, and this was done by my other favourite regiment, the Durham Light Infantry. And
tell me about the instruction you got. Well, how exactly? Was this riot control or is it crowd control?
Well, riot control, where they were throwing batons and imitation bricks at us, and they had to kneel down, and somebody said, shoot such and such. You had to shoot a person. That was it. And we never did it again.
Now, were you wearing any special clothing or?
No, just your helmet. That's all you had.
And what other techniques were you? I mean, did you have shields? No, nothing?
No, I didn't have a shield, no. I mean, we actually went to Ireland, it was...
No, you went in January 57?
Yes.
Now, where did you go to? Well, what about the trip out?
We went on the train to Heysham, and Heysham to Belfast overnight. And we were greeted by the band of the Royal Enniskillen Guards at Belfast, piped off the boat. Back on the train, went to Lisbon, into a big camp there, we were all fed. Back out of there, and then we went to Omagh in County Tyrone.
Omagh?
Yeah, and... came off the train, we come to march down the street, and I thought, oh, look at this place, huge, great big long street right away down the middle, and the band played us there, and we turned left, and we were out of the town. It was only a very small place, oh man. Finished up pretty notorious years later, but I'm glad we made it.
Now, were you in a barracks there?
Yes.
What was it called?
Lisanelli. L-I-S-A-N-double-E-L-L-Y. Liza Nelly. Liza and Nelly. And that was a fairly old camp as well. It had an old, what they called a magazine in there, where they kept all the rifles and that, and had an armour in there who worked. But we had to have a guard on it as well. So that was one guard in there. There was another guard in the guard room itself.
And was it a comfortable barracks?
They were like little cottages, actually, where we were. We had a fireplace in. No heating, just a fireplace. And there were about 12 or 14 beds in one room.
Now, what was the situation? I mean, how much did you know about what was going on?
Well, we knew nothing, but what I noticed on the way coming on the railway line from Lisbon, there wasn't a telegraph pole standing. They'd all either been chopped down or blown up all the way down. Wasn't one standing. And the first night was there, somebody said, want to volunteer to go out on patrol? So I thought it'd be exciting. So I went out with the Ulster police in a vehicle called a Dingo.
Tell me about that. So what was the size of the patrol?
Just me and the policeman.
It's just an ordinary policeman?
Yeah, the Royal Ulster Constabulary. And we just went down on the border near a place called Glocke, which is on the border with Monaghan, I think. And that was a fairly regular thing, but what we used to do, I don't know if we were trying to kid anybody on, we used to take us out on a night, and three of us would jump out and go into like a ditch. And the three lads who were in there would come out the ditch and get back in. So they thought, well, they've just gone in there for a pee or something and come back out. But I never saw any raid there. I mean, the only time I saw anything was with another little village we went to. There'd been an explosion there. And what they did was they blew the telephone box up. And all that was left was the concrete base on the bottom. That's as close as I ever came. And the smell of, I don't know if it's cordite or TNT. It's a thing you'll never forget, the smell of that.
So how far would you go in the dingo?
Well, we'd go down. I mean, we were a fair way off the border where we were. So you'd drive down and just follow the border along. Went from, like, Glocke, another place called Auchnacloy we used to go to. And then we'd always go and stop off at a police station and have something to eat. And the other thing I can remember about the police station is huge bloody doors on them. And instead of having iron bars across, like some do on the back, they had steel cables. So nobody could actually battle their way in. I mean, when we first went to Omar, the local officers told us, be careful, don't go here and don't go there. He told us streets not to go to because of the sort of troubles.
Now, what was the dingo like? Is it an armoured car?
Yeah, just a little armoured car. Tiny. I don't suppose they have them now. You used to sit up and you could see over the top. Policeman driving.
And anything, so nothing ever happened on the mobile?
Not when I was out, no.
Now, did you have your guns with you?
Yes, oh yes. We only had four or five rounds of ammunition. And we even had bike patrols, used to go out and push bikes.
What were they like? Tell us about
them. They were like big old bloody post office bikes, but the telegram boys used to use. But fancy driving around, anybody could have you.
So how many would be on it?
About five or six of us.
So you'd just be cycling along
at night.
Were they always at night, these patrols?
Yeah.
And what were you doing? I mean,
nothing. Just driving along, and I don't know if it was a matter of them saying that the soldiers are out tonight or what, but I thought it was a sitting duck if anything happened.
Did you foot patrols as well, or was it just...
No, not really. Just in the camp. I mean, the whole of the camp was covered with walking all around the camp.
So, what was it like when you're on guard duty on the camp then?
Well, that was boring as well. I mean, you walk around for 2 hours, even if it's bloody cold, and you put sand shoes on so you don't wake the lads up in the room, in the barracks. That's the longest 2 hours in your life. Because if it had been night now, where you could have had a little personal radio, it might have passed easy, but we didn't have them then.
So what other duties would you have?
Well, like
how
I
would
say,
you spend the day?
Well, if you were out, if you were on guard, over there they used to let you stop in bed. You could stop in bed. But there wasn't a lot going on. I mean, they weren't even concerned about being dressed smart, only if you went on guard and things like that. You know, you weren't... No real bullshit going on.
So, what did you think of your NCOs?
Well, I got on all right with mine. I mean, right up to RSM, they were always all right.
I mean, what made a good NCO for you? I mean, what made one you liked and could do?
Well, he's somebody who didn't dog you all the time. You know, you can get some who did, but I never got on. I mean, he got on with the sergeants all right as well. I mean, my last month in Ireland, they put me in the sergeant's mess because I was depressing all the lads. And they're saying I had written down, I've got 4 weeks and 2 days, and I had written down the hours.
I'll come. So, you thought the NCOs were fair?
I did, yeah. Oh.
What about the officers? How'd you go on with them?
All right. And as it turns out, my officer, Captain Hobson, married a woman from Durham. And I tried to get his Batman's job, but I couldn't get it.
So what was Hobson like?
He was very small, tiny man, great big mustache. But he was the one who took me out on the driving. I drove from, and I went, once again, they took us to... Somebody had to do a guard on the GOC Northern Ireland and lived in this bloody big house outside of Belfast. There was always MPs there, but he had to guard his place as well. But we were stationed in Hollywood Barracks. And we come to this drive, and I went out and I drove from Hollywood into Belfast up to Larne. He says, "Oh, that'll do, Hughes." I says, "Oh, thanks very much. Shall I drive back?" He says, "No bloody fear." But he passed us, and I've driven ever since.
So you passed your test?
Yeah, he gave us the dreaded pink slip. I never actually sat a test, to be honest.
Now, anything else? See, I'm a bit confused, because you were telling earlier, when we were talking about this story of you being on acting as an OP, but I'm confused as to when that
in the observation post. That was when the guns went. If we did go out, firing the guns on Salisbury Plain, which really only happened once or twice with me.
Right, okay. So anything else happening? How did you get on with the Irish? Did you see much of them?
I was caught and strung over there. Lovely girl, worked in Woolworths.
I mean, where did you get the chance? I mean, could you go out to the pub?
Yeah, we used to go down. There's a dance hall down there as well. We used to go there all the time.
What was the dance hall like? I mean, because they don't.
It was like a typical bloody dance hall. It was just a little stage, and the boy stood at one side, the girl stood at the other. If you saw anybody you fancied, you went over, got hold of the hands. And I went with Bernadette for about 2 or 3 months. Lovely girl.
And, I mean, was there any hostility at all from them?
No. Well, I used to take her home, and we'd be standing outside her back. I had like a backyard and a back gate. And if I heard the door go, she says, "It'll be my dad." And he doesn't like the English, so I used to be off. But there was nothing at all. The only other time we went, we did one of these other guards that we had to do was at Newry. We went to guard a drill hall. We were told not to go past Woolworths this way and go past something else. But we had no bother there neither. No, I never really.
You actually moved to Newry?
Yeah, just for a week. We looked at. We actually lived in this drill hall.
So what were you doing in Newry?
Just looking. That's all we did. Guard the drill hall there.
And then back to Armagh.
Back to Armagh. Yeah.
Now, any other incidents happen while you're out there? You know.
Well, we had. I remember being outside on parade on a morning, and I heard a gun go off. Somebody had shot somebody in the barracks.
Now, how'd that happen? What was the background to that?
Well, allegedly it was an accident, like you mentioned before, about where you warned about things happening with that rifles and things can go off. Well, there's one did go off in the Naffy once, when he had his Sten gun, he had it over the top and banged it down, the bullet went straight through the back of his hand. But this one, I don't know if it was an accident or what, but it was, nothing came of it. And he got a flesh wound right through his arm. And he was all right. He came back after a couple of weeks. He was all right. Still have the mark on his arm to prove it, I would think.
Now, anything else going on? Any other stories? Give us a flavour of what life was like for you.
Well, the only other thing I can remember, we used to go down the town and drink. There was no bother at all there. And come home, there was this little cafe outside the camp. And for half a crown, you got a big dinner for half a crown. This was up at 11 o'clock at bloody night, and it was lovely. Dane sausage, like a big breakfast.
Now, you were starting to get close to the end there, weren't you? You say you were counting down. Can you tell us all about that? Why were you counting down?
Well, because I just wanted to get out, and I look forward to getting out, so I had it all down to the hours. And the other lads must have said, I mean, we had guys who were still coming in and joining the regiment from training then, so they had to stop there. And I just had it all counted down. And that's when they put us in the sergeant's mess to keep us out of trouble.
So just out of the way?
Yeah.
Not as a sergeant?
No. Because as it turns out, I was just washing up and things and that in there. And waiting on at sergeant's dues.
Were you acting as a mess waiter, or?
No, it was just when I used to have a do in the bar, I used to wear a little white jacket and just go around serving them drinks. And I think they must have been free because they just made pigs out of themselves.
A lot of drinking, was there?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it like serving in there, or, you know, going around as a waiter?
Well, it was okay, but I had one do where I could see they were saving up all these drinks, and two of them marched me out and took us in the toilet and made us drink them all. So I had about six or eight bloody whiskies down my neck. I don't think it had any effect on us. It's maybe just catching up with us now.
Anything else? Any other stories?
No.
So what about your demo? What happened? How did they actually carry it out?
Well, you just went there. Your day was there and went
How'd
up.
How did you feel?
Oh, elated. I had to go and handed all my kit in.
So this would be what, July?
July, yeah. 2 days before my 21st birthday. I handed everything in. I didn't have a thing. And everything was in order. There was nothing missing. Just got me tickets and went down to the station. And I come back by Lant and Stranraer, and then down to Carlisle, Newcastle, and back down to Durham. It was my 21st birthday. Well, I came to the Royal Air Force Association Club in Durham, because I didn't have a key, and that's where my mum and dad drank in them days.
So how did you feel? I mean, what were you going to do now? I mean, just go back to your old job?
Yeah, I had a week off and went straight back to work.
Now, how did your national service affected you, good or bad, do you think?
Good.
In what way? You've been desperate for it to be over, so what was good about it?
Well, no, discipline. I don't know what would have happened to us if I hadn't gone in. I know people who were friends of mine who missed it through serving the time. And one was so desperate to go in, he went in and he had 3 months and he couldn't stick it. Bought himself out. But we couldn't buy ourselves out. We had to stick it out.
So it wasn't bad for you. What was good about it? What did it do for you that was good?
Well, just the lads I've met. You know, and like I say, I'm still meeting some. I've got Roy and Len, who I've known for over 50 years. And we found another one through Forces Reunited. A guy who lives in Dorset now, although he's a Cockney. And we're going to try to meet up with him again. But I think his wife must be running a cafe somewhere on the seaside. He can't always get up.
So, although you didn't enjoy it much, you enjoy the people you met.
I didn't hate it. Don't get us wrong, I didn't hate it. I just didn't. In retrospect, I'm glad I did it. But I thought it was a lot of time wasted after you did your training and things like that. You know, they didn't know what to do with you.